We're holding Tehillim, Perek Kuf Tet Zayin, 116. We're in the process of, we skipped, in honor of the break, we said we would try to run through Hallel, so that we get a basic picture of the chapters of Hallel. So we're holding chapter 116. Are we ready? Yeah. We should dedicate the shir to the soldiers that have fallen and the soldiers that are wounded. There are a lot of wounded soldiers. There are a lot of soldiers that have missing legs. A lot. And that's considered the lightly wounded. So. I don't know how they measure it. So Ashir is for Am Yisrael and our soldiers.
Because also they don't end up bumping their time, but they implement a new policy of engaging those. So that's actually really good.
Yeah. Okay, Kuf Tet Zayin. We're holding chapter 116. Ahavti ki yishma Adonai et koli tachanunai. It's interesting that this pasuk has two ways of understanding it. One understanding that seems to be the simpler understanding that almost every one of the Rishonim go with is Ahavti, I love Hashem, ki Shma Hashem, because Hashem listens to my prayer. He hears at Koli, my voice, Tachanuna, my pleadings. And it's interesting that Rashi doesn't go that route. Rashi says that after David got rid of his enemies, after David got rid of Shaul, he became king. So then he said, Ahavti, Rashi says it's from Ta'avti, I covet that Hashem should hear my voice. But not that I love Hashem because he hears my voice. It's interesting that almost everyone other than Rashi doesn't learn this way. I love, for Hashem is the one that hears my voice, my pleadings. Kihita ozno li, because Hashem is the one that tilts his ear to me. Uvyamai yekra, and throughout my days I always call out to Hashem. What do I say? Afafuni, they have surrounded me. Chevle mavet, the bands of death, the pains of death, the ropes of death, umtzarei sheol mitzuni, and the enemies of death, the boundaries of the grave, have found me. That's it. I'm standing by the grave. There's not much left between me and the grave. Like David HaMelech says, when he begins running away from Shaul, which is the beginning of a life of running, he tells his best friend Yonasan, he says, kifesa beini uvein amavet. There was a footstep between me and death. Your father threw that spear. It was like a footstep away and I would be there, I would be dead. And that's the way his life was. So he says, I was surrounded by ropes of death, by pangs of death. I found myself by the border of my grave. Tzaravi yagonim tza, I found myself with tzares, I found myself with pain, with anguish. Uvshem Adonai ikra, and I call out in Hashem's name. Ana Adonai malata nafshi, please Hashem, rescue my soul. Get me out of here. Notice, what did it say? Tzara v'yagon emtza'a, when I find myself in terrible times, uvshem Hashem ekra, I call out in Hashem's name. Let's remember that as we continue. We'll see a similar verse in a few psukim. Chanun Adonai v'tzadik, Hashem is compassionate, He gives things for free. He is a tzadik, ve'eloheinu merachem, and our God, Hashem, is compassionate. The Mefarshim say that David, in this chapter, reiterates almost every point twice to stress how he feels. So he says every point in different terms. Like we noted last week, he points out everything twice. He wants to say how badly he was stuck, how much trouble he had. So he says his troubles twice over. And how Hashem saved him, he says twice. Shomer petayim Adonai, daloti veli yoshia. Hashem watches the fools. I was impoverished when I became poor and I had nothing else, no one could help me, Hashem saved me. What does it mean, Shomer Ptayim Hashem? Hashem saves the fools. So, the simple understanding is that A fool can't help himself. So Hashem helps him. But the Gemara applies this pasuk halachically. The Gemara says that there are things that we know that they endanger the person. And if a person does them, they're going to damage him. And yet everyone does them, they don't get damaged. So the Gemara says, Shomer p'tayim Hashem. Hashem watches the fools. We're all fools, we do it, and nothing happens to us because Hashem watches us. So a person can't say that on his own, but there are times when we apply it halachically, when we say, if everyone does it, so then this applies. There are times that the Rabbanim disagree whether to apply it or not. Some Rabbanim wanted to apply it to certain scenarios in our present day, regarding places where terrorists might attack. So in each scenario, you have to ask a Rav, do you apply it or not? But the general rule is, if it's something that you think logically might be a danger, but everyone's doing it, and people are not getting hurt, so then we say, Shema Ptayim Hashem. Why is it? Because Hashem watches over fools. We're all fools, to a certain extent. The Gemara says, there are five things that bring a person closer to death than life. If a person eats, and after he eats, immediately gets up to go, contrary to common belief, everyone goes for a walk after they eat, the Gemara says you shouldn't walk right after you eat. You can't finish eating and go out. If a person drinks and he immediately gets up, if a person gets up from sleep and he immediately gets up, like we discussed when we learned the laws of waking up in the morning, that even though the Shulchan Aruch says eat gaber kari, you have to get up like a lion, so still we say take it a little bit easy because it'll damage a person if he jumps out of bed the second he opens his eyes. He has to let his body get ready to get out. And if a person lets blood or donates blood and then stands up right away, or if a person was with his wife, had marital relations and got up right away. So the Gemara then says that a person shouldn't let blood on Monday and Thursdays because on those days the upper court and the lower court sits down. They convene. And on Tuesdays, a person shouldn't let blood because then the constellations are set up in a way that Ma'adim, the constellation of blood, the star of blood, then he could damage a person when he lets blood. And then the Gemara says, we see that people do. So the Gemara says, Shomer p'tayim Hashem. Really, medically, they shouldn't do it. But if everyone does it, we see people aren't dying, so Hashem is watching over the fools. The Gemara says, another Gemara, that there are certain women that were worried that if they get pregnant, that it'll endanger their lives. A girl who's too young, sometimes she could physically become pregnant, but the pregnancy will endanger her. Her body can't handle the pregnancy. So the Gemara says that there are circumstances where we say, a woman should, when she's with her husband, she puts in a tampon. It's called a moch. She puts in some kind of material in there to absorb the semen. That was their way of birth control. So obviously, halachically, everyone knows that birth control isn't a blanket heter. Ordinarily, a person is not allowed to use birth control. He has to consult with the rabbi, and there are exceptions. So the Gemara enumerates certain exceptions. Women who it's a danger to their lives if they become pregnant. And then there's a discussion about certain women, whether they should use this birth control or not. And the Chachamim say, no, they go their way. And why? Shomer p'tayim Hashem. Because we see women do it all the time, and nothing happens to them. So even though medically we think it's a danger, but Hashem watches over fools. And this is something that everyone does. And we see that people don't use birth control for these issues, even though medically it might be recommended. And we see that nothing happens to anyone. So even though we would think, go with the medical books, we say, no, go with this pasuk. Shomer p'tayim Hashem. So the Gemara applies this halachically in instances even that we would think are pikuach nefesh. The Gemara records that there was an Amora who was very scared of snakes. There was a snake that kept bugging him, or he thought that where he was, snakes would come. So whatever he did, he tried to figure out how a snake wouldn't get him. So finally, he put his bed on posts, and inside the posts, he put each post in a bucket of water so that the snake couldn't get him. And he woke up in the morning, and he saw the snake lying next to him in bed. So he said, okay, Shemav Teim Hashem, Hashem watches fools. There's no point in trying to outsmart. Everyone else sleeps normally and they wake up alive. So I don't have to be so worried about the snakes. So when to apply this and when not is a halacha question. A person can't just say, I'll do whatever I want and Shemav Teim Hashem, Hashem watches fools. But there are times that we do apply this halachically. So David HaMelech is saying, Hashem watches the fools, and I too, when I was impoverished and nothing else, no one else could help me, Veli Yoshi, Hashem is the one that saved me. Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi. I called out to Hashem, and I told my nefesh, I told it, calm down. Shuvi nafshi limnuchaychi. My nefesh, you could calm down. Why? Ki Hashem gamal alaychi. Because Hashem is the one that always took care of you, and now also Hashem is the one that's going to take care of you. Gamal, what does gamal mean? Gamal is a camel. Gamal is also to gmilut chasadim, to give. Hashem is the one that always carried you, gave over to you. Ki chilatzta nafshi mimavet, because you, Hashem, you're always the one that saved me from death. It's interesting. My mother taught a class, a group of girls. They asked my mother, and I still haven't found a source for it, but it makes sense. They asked my mother if maybe the term gmilut chasadim stems from the word gamal, just like a gamal carries for distances. So gmilut chasadim is also you're like carrying the person, you're helping him out. So I didn't see anyone that says it, but
gamal is also a huge reward, right?
Gmul, yeah. I don't know. But ki chilatzta nafshi mimavet, because Hashem, you always saved me from death. Et eini min dima, you saved my eye from crying. Et ragli, my foot, mi dechi, from stumbling, from being turned away. Et halech, and therefore from now on, I will walk before Hashem, be'artzo tachayim, in the land of the living. What's the land of the living? Land of Israel. It's called Eretz Achaim. He'emanti ki adaber. I believe that Hashem will accept my tefillot and I will be able to speak again. Ani aniti me'od. I was very pained. I was very impoverished. Ani amalti v'chofzi, I said when I was in a rush, kol adam kozeb. Everyone's liars. When I was rushing and I was running and everyone was putting stabs in my back, I said, everyone's lying. Everyone's a liar. You can't trust anyone. Why? Well, David HaMelech saw that after he saved the whole Jewish people, they quickly turned on him when Avshalom made a rebellion. And he thought, everyone's a liar. So that when his best friend, Yohanan's son, who was a cripple, who he had helped out, he had given him wealth, he had helped him out, even though he was the grandson of Shaul, he was his father-in-law who tried to kill him, King Saul tried to kill him, and this was his grandson. Nonetheless, David HaMelech helped him out. And then, when he was running away, when David was running away during his son's rebellion, so one of Avshalom's servants, Tziva, the top servant, came to David with a lot of animals laden with all kinds of goods. And David asked him, what's going on? Where's your master? So Tziva said, oh, my master Mephibosheth, he's waiting for you to get killed by your son and to have this great civil war end. And then my master is thinking that he'll become king. So he's waiting to see that you get killed, your son gets killed. At the end of the day, your dynasty will be weakened and he'll be able to regain the throne. So David said to Tziva, to the slave, he said, everything that belonged to your master, I'm giving to you. You could have everything. We'll get to that. David HaMelech returns from the rebellion. They kill his son. He comes back to the throne. And he's entering the city of Jerusalem. And he sees Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth has his hair grown long. He looks like he's mourning. So David asks him, what's going on? David thinks he's mourning because he sees he's not going to get the throne, that David came back. So Mephibosheth tells him, from the day you left, I've been in mourning. I was praying for you to come back safely. And my servant, he tricked me. I asked him to prepare all the animals to bring you food. And he snuck out, he took the animals, and you know I'm a cripple, I couldn't come on my own. He tricked me, he took everything, and I couldn't come. And that was true. What Mephibosheth said was true. But David believed Tziva. He believed the servant. Because he saw him, Mephibosheth, dressed like that. He said, you should be rejoicing, I'm coming back. And you're dressed in rags, you're dressed in mourning. Must be your mourning that I'm coming back. So David said, stop bothering me. I said, that's it, half-half. You get half and your servant gets half. And Mephibosheth said, for all I care, give him everything. I'm happy you made it back. You're back, I'm happy. Our sages say the minute that David HaMelech said, I decided, half-half. You get half and your servant gets half. A heavenly voice came out and said, okay, half-half. Your son will get half the kingdom, your grandson will get half the kingdom, and half the kingdom is going to go off. David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara at that point, when he believed what Mephibosheth said, and what Tziva said, what the servant Tziva said, and he lost his kingdom for it. He lost most of the kingdom. So David HaMelech is over here saying, Ani amati v'chovzi, I said when I was in a rush, I was running and I was convinced, Kol Adam Kozev, everyone's liars, everyone's cheaters. No, I can't believe anyone. My father always quotes this pasuk that my father says, you run into times in life when you're convinced that everyone's cheating you. You've been cheated once and again and the third time, and finally you feel like everyone, you can't trust anyone. So my father always says, you have to remember, what did David HaMelech say? Ani amati v'chovzi, I said it when I was in a rush. Don't let the conclusions you reach when you're in a rush remain your conclusions. Yeah, there are times when you think everyone's cheating me. You have to know that you say that because you're in a specific situation and you're in a rush, so that's what you're saying. But you can't stick with that. Our sages say that Ani Amati V'Chofzi was speaking about when David HaMelech was running away from his father-in-law, Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, and he reached a point where he started climbing a mountain and he made a mistake. What's his mistake?
David, what's going on?
He was climbing a mountain. He's running away from Shaul, King Saul, and he has to get away. Right. So he climbs a mountain. What was his mistake? That he thought Shaul would follow him. Shaul didn't do that. Shaul stayed on the bottom and told his men, now surround the mountain. And that's what they did. They surrounded the mountain and they started coming up. And David HaMelech saw he has no way out. Until now, he hadn't confronted Shaul. There was never a head-on war. And now, he's going to be caught by Shaul and his men. God sent a malach that came to Shaul and said, the Jews are being attacked from the Philistines on the other front. And Shaul had to leave. But there was a period of time where David saw Shaul and his men climbing slowly up the mountain and the mountain surrounded, and he knows he's finished. And at that minute, he said, you know what? Why did I get into all of this? Because Shmuel anointed me. Shmuel told me you're going to be king. Where's my kingdom now? He's a liar. Everyone's liars. So, Ani Amati V'Chofzi, our sages say, David HaMelech was looking at everyone climbing the mountain, and he saw that's it. He's on the run. He's got nowhere to go. At that point, he said, Kol Adam Kozev, everyone's a liar. And he meant even Shmuel. Even Shmuel the Navi meant that he's a liar.
In his haste.
He regrets it. He's saying here he regrets it. He's saying, I had faith in Hashem, but I felt like there's no one but Hashem who could save me now. Everyone, even Shmuel who said I'd be king, everyone's a liar. Only on Hashem. I could only count on Hashem. He made a mistake. He could count on Shmuel. Obviously, he counts on Hashem, but Shmuel wasn't a liar. Shmuel told him a prophecy. What could I pay back Hashem for all the kindness that Hashem has done for me? And I think this pasuk should be every person's theme. We tend to think, God, look what I'm doing for you. Why do I have a toothache? Why haven't I found my wife yet? Why can't I make parnasa? Why are my parents angry at me? Why don't I get along with my roommates? We have 100 claims against Hashem. So the pasuk says in Mishlei, Ivelet Adam, the foolishness of a person, Tisalef Darko, messes up his root, Ve'al Hashem Yizaf Libo, and his anger goes to Hashem. He messes up his life, and then he turns to Hashem and says, why'd you do this to me, God? So, David HaMelech is saying, Mashiv Hashem, what could I pay back Hashem, Kol Tagmur Lo Yanai, for all that Hashem gave me, all the gifts Hashem gives us. Kos Yishuot Esa, Uvshem Adonai Eka, I will raise a cup of salvation, thanking Hashem for saving me, and I will call out in Hashem's name. You remember? I asked you to remember a pasuk a few psukim ago. What did David HaMelech say? Pasuk Gimel, Tzara V'Yagon Nimtza, when I find myself in a situation of desperation and sorrow, uvshem Hashem ekra. I call out to Hashem, the same term, uvshem Hashem ekra. And our sages say, he begins the parak with saying, I'll call out in Hashem's name when I'm stuck. And then he says, kos yeshuot esa, when I'm redeemed, uvshem Hashem ekra, I'll call out in Hashem's name. That's to teach us the concept that we make a blessing, we thank Hashem when things seem good and when things don't seem good. Mevachim la'ra'a, just as mevachim ala to'ava. We have to bless Hashem for bad things, just like we bless Hashem for good things. Now, people mistakenly think that, oh, everything's good. Must be everything's good, right? If Hashem's running the show and Hashem's good, so everything's good. But the Mishnah says, mevachim la'ra'a, kishem shemachim la'tova. There are things that are called ra. Now, there is an eternal sense in which everything has good. But Hashem told us to do A, and we don't do A, that's not good. And Hashem wants us to live, and then we forfeit our lives, that's not good. So there is a concept of ra'a. There's a much more elevated concept where we say there is an aspect where things are good, where in the end we'll recognize the good in everything. But even that has to be defined. Does it mean that in specifics we'll see the good? If I get up and start smacking everyone, oh, that's good. There were two people who preceded Rashi. Dunash ben Labrat and Menachem ben Saruk. Rashi often quotes Menachem. Menachem ben Saruk wrote a notebook in which he showed what were the roots of each word. And that's called Machberet, the notebook of Menachem. And the one who argued with him a lot was Dunash ben Labrat. If I'm not mistaken, it was Dunash. It was either Menachem or Dunash. I think it was Dunash, who was funded by a wealthy person. His writings were funded. And people were jealous of him. So they went to that wealthy person who was funding him. And they told him, oh, he's plotting against you, and he doesn't like you, and he's doing all kinds of bad things against you. And that wealthy person sent his strong men on Shabbos. And they came into his house, and they destroyed his house, and they plucked out his beard, and they beat him, and they made his house into shambles. And he wrote a letter to this wealthy person who had funded him until now, and he said, why do you believe the lies people say about me? I've never done anything against you. I've always been for you. Whenever you needed me to write up a quick speech for you, I wrote up a quick speech for you. I did everything I could for you, and this is how you pay me back? So he writes him a letter back, and we still have this. He tells him, look, if I was right that you weren't faithful to me, so I paid you what you deserve. And if I was wrong, that you really were faithful to me, that you never did anything against me, so just be thankful I brought you one step closer to Hashem. So think about that. Any thief could say that. What do you want from me? I destroyed your house. I plucked out your beard. I sent my men to beat you up in front of your wives and kids. Yeah, I destroyed everything you owned. I left your house completely destroyed. But don't worry. Worst comes to worst. I brought you closer to Hashem. So I didn't understand from the context whether it was a Jew who was funding him or not. It might be it was a Muslim. I don't know. I couldn't follow. It's an introduction to one of their works that they quote this whole story. But when we say that there's an element where everything is good, we can't get carried away with that. It doesn't mean that I could do whatever I want. No, everything's good. So soldiers were killed today. That's also good. No, we say that that's called ra'a, and in our eyes we see it as bad, and we have a different blessing for it. We say we bless Hashem, Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Hashem judged us truthfully, but we're not happy about it. It's true. We're saying it's a true judgment, and there's an element there's a level where it's all good, and at one day we'll recognize it. But today it still hurts, and we do see bad. So David HaMelech is teaching us that even when things look bad, even when it's tzara v'yagon nimtza, it's the same term, b'shem Hashem ekra. I call out in Hashem's name, just like when kos yeshuot esa, when I raised the cup of salvation, that Hashem saved me. Pasuk yud dalet. Nedarai l'Hashem ha'shalem, negdana l'chol amo. I will pay back my vows to Hashem. When he was in a time of danger, he took on vows. When a person's in a time of danger, that's when he may take on vows. And he says, I'll pay them back opposite his nation. I'll honor Hashem in paying back my vows. That'll show how Hashem saved me. So I'll do it in front of everyone. Yakar beinei Hashem hamavita lachasidav. It is precious in the eyes of Hashem the death of his chasidim. He doesn't let it happen easily. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Please Hashem, I am your servant. Ani avdecha ben amatecha. I am your servant, the son of your maid, meaning my mother. Pitachta lemosegai. You're the one that always took off my bindings. What did David HaMelech say when he asked for mercy? He said, Ani avdecha, I am your servant, ben amatecha, the son of your maid. He reminded Hashem, his zchut, who his mother was. And therefore, when we pray, when we daven for someone to have something that he needs mercy, or refuah shleima, for example, we say his mother's name. Like David HaMelech said, Ani avdecha ben amatecha. He didn't say, I'm the son of my father. His father was one of the biggest tzaddikim there were. His father, Yishai, the Gemara says, he had no reason to die. The only reason he died was because of the sin with the snake that Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. Because Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, that's why Yishai had to die. Yishai was one of the few that Yishai didn't have a sin. He didn't really deserve to die. He didn't have a sin that was fitting to die from. So David HaMelech should have said, I'm the son of Yishai, Hashem. Have mercy on me. He didn't say that. He said, I'm the son of my mother. And in saying that, he taught us that when we ask for mercy, we mention the mother's name.
Lech. Yeah. Some people believe that he never died.
Who never died?
Jesse.
The Gemara says he did die. The Gemara just asks why. I don't know. Could be, no. Could be there's a medrash that way. You know, I don't know every medrash. He said that, so could be that. Does say that somewhere. I don't remember. We could look up that Gemara. Maybe there's even an opinion in that Gemara that says he didn't die. Maybe I don't remember correctly. I think it's a Gemara in Shabbos. I think so. But, I don't remember. I have to think. I have to think where it is. Huh? I'll think. I'll try to remember by the end of the class where it is. I think it's in Shabbos, but I have to think. No, maybe not. I don't remember. Lecha izbach zevach toda. To you, Hashem, I will bring a sacrifice of thanks. Uvshem Hashem ekra. And I'll call out in Hashem's name, thanking him for all the things that he saved me from. Nedarai l'Hashem Hashalem. I will pay back my vows to Hashem. Negdana lechol amo, opposite his whole nation. Bechatzrot bet Hashem, in the courtyards of the house of Hashem. Betochech Yerushalayim, in your midst Yerushalayim. Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. Perkuf Yud Zayin. Hallelujah Hashem Kol Goyim. Now, David HaMelech has finished discussing how Hashem saves him from his enemies. He says that all the nations should praise Hashem. Shabechu Kol HaOmim. Praise Hashem, all the different tongues, all different nations. Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdo, because Hashem's kindness has overwhelmed us. Ve'emet Hashem Le'olam. Hallelujah. And Hashem is truthful, and his truth is eternal, and therefore praised is Hashem. So what's David HaMelech saying? Nations, you all praise Hashem because he gave the Jews extra kindness. Ki gavar aleinu chasdo. So we say it every month. What's going on here? So let's think of another pasuk we say. Shir ha-ma'alot v'shuv Hashem shivat Zion ha'inu kecholmim. Right? When Hashem returns the people to Zion, it was like a dream. Azim alei schok binu urshoninu rina. Then, when Hashem brings us back to Zion, our laughter will be filled, our tongues will be filled with rejoicing and song. Az yom ruva goyim, then the nations are going to say, Higdil Hashem nasot imela. Hashem did great things with these people. Where the nations are happy. Hashem does good to us, they're all going to be happy. So it seems like, yeah. Seems like that's what's going to happen. And this is discussed in the Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos. Do we apply the concept of Pirsume Nisa to non-Jewish nations? When we light Hanukkah candles, so we're doing Pirsume Nisa, but it seems like that's for Jews. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, based upon this Pasuk and the Pasuk in Shir HaMalos, that there's also an element where, in the time to come, that there's going to be Pirsume Nisa for the non-Jewish nations as well. So we're holding by Perek Kuf Yud Ches, and I think we're going to switch now to Minyan HaBayit, and we'll finish, God willing, next week. I think we're going to have classes as usual next week. Do we have...